You ready to go?
Ready.
Well, we're back and we're having a great time at Radio Entrepreneurs. It took a while to get the mics back on because we, and the we being Chris Jarrell, Alex Cooper, and me, Jeffrey Davis, your host, have been gobbling up the best non-GMO, gluten-free, vegan, paleo-friendly bars we've ever eaten. That means we're talking to Carrie Forbes of
Gutsy.
See, I did almost because of all the names you gave me off the mic. I couldn't get the other names out of my head. So, out of Gutsy. And these bars are great. So, welcome to the show. And, Carrie, tell us about the business.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah. So, Gutsy is a New England themed nutrition bar company that focuses on low sugar bars with high quality ingredients. I would say what really makes them different from most of the bars on the shelves is that most of the bars you see are oat-based or date-based, which not only is high in sugar and carbs, but tend to give you a spike and then a drop in energy levels. And mine are all cashew-based, which is a slow, steady energy. But I find that the cashews also give them a really creamy texture and more decadent, as you said, very decadent. So that's what really makes them stand out.
Well, decadent was my term for your double chocolate brownie.
Yes.
That was just unbelievable.
Yes,
and Chris ate it and didn't even want to touch the other bars. He was like, felt so satisfied that he couldn't even touch the others.
It tastes like it should be sinful.
So tell us the evolution of how you decided to get into this business. It's a very exploding competitive marketplace. So what drove you into this area?
Yeah, it was a little bit by accident, not quite so purposeful. Gutsy started out as a health and fitness blog. I had been a fitness competitor in 2013, and I became very hyper-focused on my health and nutrition and the macro and micronutrients that I was taking in. And so one of the few things, you know, as part of our nutrition plan, we always wanted everything to be high in protein, low in carbs and sugar. So when you were on the go in the car, a nutrition bar was kind of your go-to, but there were very few. At the time, the Quest bar was really the only one that kind of fit those macros. And as the company grew, the quality changed, and it started actually to kind of hurt my stomach, whatever, you know, was in there. And so I knew that there was a need for a bar that kind of fit the low sugar, high protein, you know, lower carb nutrition profile needs.
Without being all chemical.
Yeah, exactly. Originally, again, it started off as a blog, and then I, you know, had grown my audience and I wanted to do more with it. And so I, you know, my first thought went to protein bars. And so I very casually just kind of found a manufacturer that made it really easy for me to get in for at an affordable price because I was bootstrapping the whole thing. So I didn't create a business plan or a pro forma and go and look for an investor. I just, you know, my first batch of bars was 10 boxes of each. I did start with all three flavors, but 10 boxes of each. So it was very minimal. But it sold out I don't even know if it was 2 weeks. And they were all gone.
Do you remember who you sold it to the first ones?
It was my email list. Okay. So yeah, and it was the very first, it was January of 2016. And those original wrappers, because it was a blog, the logo was it was kind of pink, and it didn't really go with my state-themed branding that I had come up with. And so I didn't even put my logo on. It was basically a test batch to test the market and made sure that people liked the flavors that I chose and that they liked the branding that I chose, because obviously it's very unique. And for the people that are just listening to this that can't see, their state and kind of city theme. So there's a Boston bar, a New Hampshire bar, in a main bar, and then there's funny little slogans for each of the bars
that's
kind
what I was
of
reading.
Yeah, so they capture your attention, and it's kind of like, for me, I have a marketing background, so it was kind of like being the shiny object on the shelves. And I knew that there were a lot of bars, a lot of competition, and so I wanted to stand out in a different way other than just having really quality ingredients. Right. And so that's what it was.
And what were you doing before this?
I was doing marketing. So I was doing some freelance marketing, and I also was marketing director of a software company, ERP software for manufacturing organizations. So.
Wow, that's a big change, though. Even though you were doing marketing, ERP to cookie.
Super different audience. And, you know, I don't necessarily relate with manufacturers. I had never been one or been in a facility at the time with that job. And so it was a hard, even though you have marketing skills, you really want to be able to resonate your audience and you want to know what the correct messaging is. And so it was always a little bit of a struggle for me because it wasn't something that I would go and be super excited about engaging with, you know? And a lot
of
them weren't even...
You didn't have a sales persona.
Yeah,
so
and a lot of them weren't even really online, you know? So it was just more difficult. And so these are my people, you know? Health, nutrition, foodies. So I'm talking, the messaging is me, you know what I mean? There's a lot of me inside
people.
Of those. Yeah, and I get to create a community, an audience that of people that I want to hang out with, that I really resonate with. And so it's so easy, and it's so fun, and it never feels like work.
But you were working before for what I would call a fast-paced technology industry.
B2B.
Yeah.
Dry.
Yeah, but regular paycheck. Now you're the chief cook and bottle washer. Big adjustment emotionally?
Yeah, to say the least, and financially.
If you're only listening to the show, there was a big face.
Yeah, and financially, I mean, there's not a paycheck like there used to be. All the money that the company makes has to go back into the company in order to grow. And I think that's the one thing that maybe if I had put together a business plan and a pro forma, I would have realized actually how much money it costs to grow a food brand, because it's not just the cost of goods and then the sale of those goods. You have a lot of people in between from start to finish that are taking from the pot, and then your operating expenses on top of it. So it's huge. And, you know, as you get a large amount of stores, you need to, you need to get the ingredients and manufacture the product and all of that. So there's a lot of money that is kind of sitting out there before it's coming back in. I would just say that that's my biggest shock is actually how much money it costs to really grow a brand, especially on a national level.
So being a new entrepreneur, what's keeping you up at night?
I mean, besides everything, I think it's just, I think that, you know, the financial thing is it's a big deal and it's really important. And managing all of that and, managing your inventory and predicting your future sales, that's something that you kind of think about and stress about. And then just the to-do list is basically, you know, forever long. And so really trying to prioritize the best you can. Sometimes it seems like everything's a priority. And so I really kind of have to think each day about what's important for that day and go from there.
So much to learn. Do you get help from people?
I mean, I network as much as I can. I go to as many events I can. I talk to as many people who have industry experience or any business experience as possible. And I you know, on a day-to-day basis, I'm always trying to learn. I listen to podcasts constantly. And so those are my resources.
Interesting. So, what would we expect to see in the next year? Any changes?
Yeah. So it's interesting because I have this state-themed branding, it makes it really unique and special, but it also is a little bit, it holds me back a little bit because if I want to go outside of New England, maybe it doesn't resonate as well in, you know, some of the stores in Illinois or Florida or Wisconsin. And even though I get sales online, when I want to go into retail stores, you know, it begs the question, like, how does this fit? And so I'm contemplating, potentially removing the state theme and making something that appeals more on a national level. I think there's a lot of contemplations going on, and either way, there's going to be some sort of pivot so that I can grow and expand the brand. And I just have to really weigh out these options and then decide the best route to go.
If If someone wants to find you, find the bars, how would they do that?
So, of course, gutsy.com. And on social media, I'm Gutsy Life, G-U-T-S-E-Y Life. And if somebody wants to speak with me personally, then my email is fine. Carrie Forbes, C-A-R-R-I-E, Forbes, like the magazine, at gutsy.com.
Great. I want to thank you for being on the show. I hope you'll come back again.
Thank you. Love to.
Keep telling people on that we will help you to get your message out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thanks to our listeners. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.